Now, recently, a team of scientists made headlines around the world after announcing they'd created human-monkey hybrid embryos in their lab. Now, like many advancements in genetics research, this development has a vast scientific potential, but also has some real ethical concerns. I've got the perfect person to take us through this. Dr. Megan Munsey is a Professor of Ethics and Policy in Stem Cell Research at the University of Melbourne, and she joins me now to help us sort through the issues surrounding this remarkable advancement. Megan, how are you this morning?
I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me up.
No problem. Now, first off, tell us a bit about what this research is. I mean, I gave a very sensationalized account of it, half monkey human hybrid embryos in a lab, which sounds like something off a movie that's coming out this summer. But tell us about Chimera research and how this belongs in the world of genetics and what's actually happened with this advancement.
Well, I think we should take a step back and perhaps talk a little bit about what was created. And I think the first thing I'd say is just this work is contained within the lab. So the chimeric embryos they created weren't made into half monkey, half human kind of creatures. They were really, I suppose, models to understand more about how cells interact. So that's the kind of background of why the research was being conducted. And I'll talk a little bit more about perhaps its applications in a moment. But the technology is quite interesting. And I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with IVF and creation of embryos in the lab. Well, this group used a monkey embryo that was at a stage called a blastocyst, which is sort of quite an advanced stage just before the embryo would be implanted into the uterus. And this stage of embryonic development, you can seed, if you like, the embryo with other cells. And we have actually been using this model of blastocyst complementation. It's a fancy word, but basically means we take stem cells and add them into the blastocyst. And those stem cells integrate with the cells that will eventually give rise or have the capacity to give rise to young. So it's a technology that's actually been around for a long time. But what this group have done is sort of use that technology to ask some fundamental questions about why they haven't been able to progress their grand vision. And so perhaps I could talk a little bit more about the grand vision, because I think the context is really important.
Yeah, go for it. What is the grand vision?
So their grand vision is actually to make chimeric animals that have humanized organs in them for transplantation. So
right.
They see the shortage of organs around the world, and they think that perhaps this technology could provide an alternative or at least address the shortage. Now, please don't think that they're trying to create farmed monkeys. They're actually looking at other species, such as pigs, for example, to host the organs,
right,
or the development of the organs. And that has some many issues that I suspect you'd like to talk about anyway.
Of course. Go for it.
I was going to make a comment to say that they've been doing this work for many years, and you might remember back in 2017, they actually produced a pig fetus. So they made the embryo using this complementation technique, put that into the uterus of the pig, and made an embryo that had human cells in amongst the pig cells. What was really interesting in that study is that the contribution of the human cells was very, very low. So they were a long way off their dream of being able to create transplantable organs.
Mm. Now, you mentioned that, you know, the grand vision to create these transplantable organs in pigs and animals of the like. If that's the case, why are we doing this research with monkey genetics and yeah?
Well, as I just mentioned, so great questions. And as I just mentioned, the experiments didn't work, or at least they didn't work as well as they had hoped. So they think that one of the reasons why the human cells don't integrate well into the pig embryo is that they are too distant in an evolutionary context.
Mm.
So other researchers have used rat and mouse models to create or at least give a proof of concept around this kind of organogenesis in an animal model. But this group thought perhaps if they understood what happened when used more similarly or at least closer evolutionary species, so human monkeys, then you would be able to see and understand what was happening at a cellular level. So that's really the reason why they're using this tool. They're hoping to understand what are the barriers and can we address those barriers.
Yeah. Do we face a slippery slope, though? Because if we, you know, this research continues using monkeys and we find, okay, we found the perfect species of primate that, you know, as this technology advances, is the perfect candidate to host human organs for our grand vision. It's almost too much of a good opportunity to pass up. Plus, we've got other, you know, other actors, other states in the world who are a little bit more, you know, cavalier in their use of these types of technologies than perhaps Australia or some other Western nations. Do we face a slippery slope here where eventually, you know, places, countries, you know, labs are building these monkeys, genetically modified monkeys to harvest organs?
Well, I think it's a great thing to keep talking about and keep it on the radar. So, of course, the technology could be abused, as can most technology. But I do want to remind everybody that there are really stringent international restrictions on how monkeys are used in research. And I think also we have to acknowledge that I don't think it'd be very easy to at a practical level, farm monkeys. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But I can see where I can see that these kind of extrapolations or these concerns, you know, are reasonable and things that we should be talking about. And I also wonder whether we need, if this model was ever to deliver the grand vision, how do people feel about having organs from a pig, for example?
Yeah.
I mean, leaving aside monkeys, I think monkeys will probably be a step too far for many people, and that in itself is quite interesting. But I think if you look at the livestock animals, I think it may well be divisive as well. That said, many of us would take a pig heart valve, for example, to save our lives or that of a loved one. Mm. So I think there's some interesting issues that we'll have to grapple with. But the technology is still a long way away. And I suppose what excites me around, you know, coming on your program and talking about these issues is that let's talk about it as the technology is evolving rather than perhaps once it gets there. So I think it's been good that this work has had some coverage, but I am concerned that perhaps there'll be a little bit too much fear around that slippery slope argument. I think that we can contain the science, or at least put in some checks and balances in the around the science, but I think we need to be at least having conversations about it.
Yeah, certainly. Wow, there's a massive conversation to be had, and I wish I had longer to talk to you and ask you some of these other questions I've got here, but unfortunately we've run out of time. Dr. Megan Muncey, thank you so much for joining us and talking about this interesting development.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much. That was Dr. Megan Muncey. She's from the University of Melbourne. She's a professor of ethics and policy at the stem cell research department there. And she's talking to us about this new development in genetics research. It's certainly a fascinating one.